Good morning to everybody. Good morning to everybody online. This is Living Fellowship Yuma, and we are not a whit behind the chief churches. We are just right there. We may be smaller in number, but we're great in faith. That's what I hope we get across to you today. It's not about how many people you have. It's about where their hearts are at. That's the most important thing in the world. Jesus came and he actually said, I came to get you 12. And when he said that, knowing all things, he said, yeah, there's 12 of you, 12 disciples, but one of you is a devil. He knew that even then. He said, I chose you and my Father gave you to me. If you go to the 17th chapter of St. John, you find out that he says his Father gave them those 12. People said, no, he came for the whole world. He came to turn, you know, talk to everybody and whatever. Nope. He came to the 12 because he had a plan. Yes, God could do everything himself. He could do this, snap, and make everybody do what he wants them to do. He could do that. But what he wanted us to understand is that, because he knew we'd be saying things like this, well, you're God, and that's why it was easy for you. You're God, because that's how things came to pass. You're God, you know. He said, no, we're going to do this through men that I've taught, who have faith, who believe me, who trust me, and that I'll be able to do things for them. They're going to do things that are impossible for men to do, Kiko. They're going to do things that are impossible. And you know why? Because men aren't supposed to do the impossible things. God is. So what's impossible with man is very possible with God. So did they do things that where you come to a place and there's an impasse? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I remember when Peter and John walked into the temple. This is after the day of Pentecost, after God gave his spirit to the disciples, after he did all of those things. And they were walking, and here's a good thing to remember. Ceci, they were still going to the temple, even after the day of Pentecost. They went there for prayer, and it gave them an opportunity to talk to people in the temple about this great message of Jesus. So they didn't stop going to the temple. They went. And on their way to the temple, they saw a guy sitting on the steps that was there every day. You know, he's lame. He wanted to walk and so forth. And he always begged alms. And so he asked for silver or gold. Kiko, he said, you have anything for me that you can give me so I can make it? And Peter and John said, hey, silver and gold have we none. We're broke. That's the way we would put it. We're broke. We don't have anything. But such as we have, give I unto thee. Reach down and touch the man's hand and lifted him up, Chris, to where he was standing. And that man started leaping and jumping where he had been lame all those years. Couldn't move. Had to have people help him to the steps of the temple. But jumping up and down, leaping for the joy. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Whew. Said the right words, huh? And he, with them, they're walking into the temple. And this guy's just leaping on their hands. Walking into the temple, and everybody in there said, isn't that the guy that's brought there every day that's lame? Yeah, that's him. So what happened? The impossible with man. Here's the thing that we need to understand about things that are impossible. There's a lot of things impossible to us. Can we just walk into heaven on our own right now? You know, there's a lot of things impossible to us. We would like to, huh? Because we thought it. Let's go. We're going to go right now. Or can we enter into hell and deliver those that we love and pull them out of it? Can we do that? Can we just walk in? Or can we be lifted up between heaven and earth like the prophet was? God did it by his hair and lifted him between heaven and earth. Didn't hurt him or anything because God was trying to show him something. It's a very powerful thing to have God take a hold of you. Asked Jacob, the one whose name was changed to Israel. He wrestled with an angel all night long. And he said, I am not going to let you go until you bless me. He realized it was a heavenly being in the form of a what? A man. And he wrestled with the man all night long. And every time the angel tried to leave him, here we go, put him in another hold and hold on to him. Finally, the angel said, this guy's not going to let go. He took his hand and touched the inner part of his thigh and put his hip out of joint. And he had to let him go. But he got a blessing before he went. So you're no longer Jacob. Now your name is Israel. And you're going to carry out all of the promises that was given to your father, Abraham. Grandfather, great-grand, whatever you want to call him before. You're just a continuation of the line of faith. And out of you will come 12 tribes. And out of that, out of those tribes, there's going to come a Savior and a Redeemer. Anybody tell me what tribe Jesus was from? Judah. So that's where the start of all that was. And wow. So he showed his faith in holding on to him. Later on, we read Jacob's holding on to his staff. He had to walk with a staff with help every day after that. That little sinew muscle there that held the joint in place, it withered. But it was a sign, and he would hold on to the staff. And every time people looked at him, they said, ah, yeah, that's the man that wrestled with an angel and wouldn't let go. And we have him as an example. If we ever get in that situation, don't let go of God. And it was a sign. So some people say, oh, that's a bad thing. No, that was a good thing. He could lean on his staff and still make it everywhere he had to go. But every time people saw him with that staff, they said, ah, that's the story. It brought back to mind his relationship with God. Very good thing. It's very powerful for us to understand things that God is doing for us that are impossible. Grace is God performing his great work that you cannot do. That's what grace is. You go to a lot of religious churches and they tell, oh, grace is God's unmerited favor. That's nice, a nice Webster's Dictionary thing there. Yeah, it's his unmerited favor, but what does that mean? What is God going to do? He's going to do the things that you can't do. You know, he asks us to do several things that's going to take him to help us to do it. You know, how many of us would like to be able to just purge our own conscience? Just purge it of everything that was. But he says it's going to take him. It's going to take him. I wrote the two words up there because somebody was talking to me. The conscience we're talking about is that thing inwardly that kind of guides us morally, you know, as to making decisions about being good or not good or right or unright, whatever. That's what the conscience is. Conscious is you're awakened. You know, somebody knocked you out and you wake up. You're conscious again. You're playing football, you get a hard hit and you're out, concussion out. When you wake up, oh, you come back to consciousness again. So they're two different words, but they sure sound alike, don't they? But the one the Bible talks about is the top one. The conscience that of the inner man, his moral fiber, how he thinks and does, where his heart and mind is, Patty. And whether they're on the things of God or whether they're on the things of man. Are they on the flesh, satisfying the flesh? We want so much here. And I'm just going to tell you, everything that we want here will decay and go away. It just won't be good. I don't care what it is. I want to be president of the United States. Fine. Go ahead and do that. But after you do that, you're going to die just like everybody else. You know, it's not a big deal. You know, we want houses on the hill and all kinds of stuff, but it all decays. I often look at the pyramids of Giza over in Egypt. By the way, Egypt does not have the most pyramids. A little country just south of them has the most pyramids in the world. Sudan, way more. But the ones in Egypt, they're bigger. You know, the ones that we see, that's what was discovered at the turn of the century and all of that. What is that guy's name? Tutankhamun? I can't say his name right, but whatever it is, they found a lot of his stuff intact. A lot of gold, a lot of things. You know, they found honey there too in a jar, and they tasted it, and it tasted just honey lasted all those thousands of years. Opened up the top of it, it says, still tasted like honey, John. It's a strange thing from bees. So did God do all of that? Yes, he did. He understands how that works. But there was honey in there for the Pharaoh in case he wanted some to sweeten anything while he was going on his path through death. Let me tell you, he was dead when they put him in there. Simple as that. There's nothing else going to happen with him, Kiko, except he's going to decay. But this is the thing that's their belief, right? That was a belief. Well, let us be conscious of things. Let us understand that when we were without Christ, we were dead. I want you to think about that. People say, what kind of dead you're talking about? We were dead to the knowledge of him and having him in our life, not having, you know, a relationship, whatever. We were dead. And then he came along, and what did he do? He died for us and resurrected, and he resurrected that spirit in us. He anointed us, gave us of his spirit. Do you also know that God gave every one of us a measure of faith? I'm going to read a few scriptures here. We've talked about this purging of the conscience several times, but let me just read something to you here. Actually, let me do this one first. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 5. I want you to listen to this. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Think of it as a type of moral power, virtue, okay? Add to your faith. We always can quote what it says about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, what does it mean? What does it mean? So we can quote it, we can say it, we can say, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Okay, what does it mean? What is faith really? Faith really, it is Jesus, Patty, but what it is us believing before we see any evidence of anything. Abraham, I want you to leave your family that you grew up with, your father, all your people there, mama, everybody's there. Leave, and I'll go to a place that I'll show you. Abraham did not hesitate, got up, packed, and said, went to a place, Ceci, that he didn't know he was going to. He left not knowing where he was going to go. But what did he act on? He didn't see the land first. He acted on by faith. He got up and moved in obedience. God said to move, I moved. It's as simple as that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This happened to me. I was sitting in a church, and it was a church that doesn't know the truth that we have now, but that's all I knew at the time. And I'm sitting up on the pulpit, and I hear a voice tell me, go. So, okay, fine. I asked the guy, hey, what do you mean, go, the guy next to me? He said, I didn't say anything to you. I said, okay. So here it comes again, a little bit more emphatic, go. So I asked the guy, the deacon on this side of me, I said, hey, what do you mean, go? I didn't say anything to you. I said, fine. And the pastor's up there preaching, teaching a lesson, and I'm sitting behind. And then the third time was so emphatic, sis. It said, go, like that. And I looked around, and I looked around, it hit me. The voice of God was speaking to me. I'd never heard the voice of God before. But when he said that, and there was a stirring in me, and I didn't know quite what to do because I didn't know what we know now. I didn't know what to do. Patty, I didn't understand. Didn't have understanding. But one thing I did, pastor asked me what was wrong because I just busted out crying. I realized the voice of God was speaking to me. Who am I that the voice of God will speak to me, Kiko, and say something to me? And the pastor brought up, when I went back in his office with me, said, what was going on back there? And I said, I heard a voice, it told me to go. I said, I heard it three times. And he brought to my mind about Samuel and Eli, because I didn't even think about it. But he brought to my mind, I said, didn't that happen to Samuel? I said, yeah. Did it happen to Abraham, telling him to go? Yeah. So Within a short while, we were gone from that place, even though I'd been there 20 years, 25 years. But when God said to go, I went. That was one of the things I think why God allowed me to be where I'm at right now. I didn't quite understand everything. We think we have to understand everything. We have to see the end of everything. We don't. God likes it when you move on what he says. You know, Noah, build me an ark. Okay, Lord, start going, getting the wood, because it's going to rain. Rain, what's that? Because remember, if you go back and read in that sixth chapter, rain had never happened on the earth before then. So we just take it for granted that he understood what rain was. Go back and read it. There had been no rain. You know how everything was watered, Tim? Condensation and a mist rose from the ground. We see it sometimes when it's cool in the morning. You see water buds on plants and stuff like that. That's how the earth was watered. That's how it was done. But for the first time, God was going to send it from the heavens, from the skies. And there was going to be rain. Noah didn't know what rain was. He hadn't seen it. None of the other people living then had seen it either. That's a big point, isn't it? But God told him it's going to rain. He said, I want you to build me an ark. And he says, all flesh has come before me, and I see the evil that's in it, and I'm going to destroy it. God can get fed up. Remember, it says, their minds were on evil continually. That's the sixth chapter of Genesis. And God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And he meant it. It's not always going to go along with man. But they were so evil. Every thought was evil. Now, he's God. He doesn't want his creation on every thought on evil opposing him all the time. He said, oh, we'll wipe it out and we'll start over. But I found a faithful man. I found a man that had grace. You know what? He believed God, and God's grace had worked in his life. And that was Noah. So did he start on an ark? He sure did. He'd never seen rain before, never seen a flood, but he didn't have to see it to be obedient to God. He moved in obedience. Just started doing. People laughed at him. What are you building this big thing for, man? What are you building it for? Well, rain's going to come. Laughed him to scorn. All kinds of stuff happened to him. Did it stop him? It took him years to get everything completed, because it was quite a task. But he did it. That's the key. Moved in obedience by faith. So, I'm going to go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. We got some people so extreme one way or the other, they're not temperate. They're not in moderation. But God says, be in moderation. Don't be on the extreme. In anything, don't do it, okay? To temperance, patience. Man, do we need patience. Some of us are so hasty in things that we do. Even things God tells us. God says, I'm going to do this, this, and this. I'm going to try working on it myself right now. We get it in our mind. We can accomplish it. We don't wait on the grace of God. God tells you, my grace is going to help you to accomplish it. But we go try to figure it out, just like we try to figure out sin, we try to figure out lust, we try to figure out everything on our own with our own knowledge. And that's why we fail. So to knowledge, temperance, to temperance, patience, to patience, godliness. So what is God telling us? If we're patient and take our time and listen to God, obedient to God, listen to his word, be led by his spirit, by that patience, we will become like God. Godliness will be part of our makeup. Godliness. So people say, I want to be like God. Well, you have some patience, you might. That's what you have to have in order to do this. You have to have patience, okay? And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Isn't it nice that we can be kind to one another? Kind to one another. It's very good to be kind to one another. Not to think on your own things, but to think on the things of others, the scripture says. Not always so bound up in what I want and what I need, but looking at others and saying, maybe I can help in some way. To brotherly kindness, charity. What does it say about charity? Isn't it the greatest of all? Aren't you 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians? Doesn't it say it ends up with there's faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity. All charity is, guys, is the Greeks had five words for love. Well, this is the highest one. This is the agape love. They have phileo and eros and all. There's a bunch of others. But the agape love is the highest love. It's the love that God had for us. It's the love about him creating his son in the heavens and the master plan, sending him to die for us. That's love. So this agape love is the highest love there is. It's the love that God shows. It's the love that embodies God. Remember it says in 1 John that God is love. That's why it says that. And the Greeks knew that what we call love here, they had to have other words for it, you know, because it wasn't as high as God's love, you know. So God's love is the epitome of what love should be. Not what we think love is here, but the love that comes from heaven. That's different. It's a mystery, the love of God. There's a lot of things that are mysteries. Graces is a mystery. God performing the work for us that we can't do, doing the impossible. Isn't that a mystery to us? How does that work? How does it work for the impossible to happen in our lives? And we always think about something impossible that goes against the physical laws here. What if I told you it's about God showing you that you can inhabit heaven? That while you walk around in the fleshly mindset, that he can give you a mind that can sit in heavenly places in him. What if I told you that grace is a mystery? Love is a mystery. Faith is a mystery. Even purging our conscience is a mystery. You know why? Because we can't do it. It comes from heaven. It comes from God, from the throne of God. So if we can't do these things, should we appeal to the one that can? Should we believe the one that can? Should we walk with the one that can? Yes, we should. Those are things I tell people all the time. It would have to take witnesses of the guys that I was with, especially when I was overseas. And the stuff that we did and whatever, they would have to come here and tell you, say, this guy, he was the worst out of the bunch. Really? Really. You mean that guy is preaching up there now? Yeah. Okay. So he was the worst. He's the one that led us and suggested doing bad things and going places and doing things. And let's just mess up because we're big enough to mess up. That was it. So, you know, it's powerful that when God can get a hold of you, and no matter how bad or how big you think you are, he can change you. Change is a good thing. I think change just for changing's sake, just to do something different, is not always good. But to change a man, the inner man, and make him a different being, that's very good. What did David say in Psalms 51? He said, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit. Didn't he say that? Can God create us anew while we live? Yes, he can. David said so. And David had committed a horrible sin. He had committed adultery with another man's wife, had the man killed, put in the front lines to be killed to cover up his crime. I mean, just so many things. The lady became pregnant. And he prayed and prayed that the son would live, but God already told him. He said, because you did this thing, because you took another man's sheep, ewe lamb, as he called it, because you did this to a righteous man. You know, Uriah the Hittite was one of David's best fighters, one of his most loyal men, and it was his wife that David took. Wow. Because she was so beautiful. But the whole thing was when the prophet Nathan came to David and told him, yeah, this man had this little ewe lamb and this other one that had a big old flock of them, came and took the one that just had the one ewe lamb or whatever, and then had the owner killed and all that stuff. And so he made it a parable. And David said, who did this thing? You know, he's the king of Israel. Bring him before me and I'll punch him. I'll kill him. And Nathan said, O king, thou art the man. Can you imagine, King David? Can you imagine? He said, thou art the man. And when it hit him, you know, he thought because he was king, he can do anything. And we forget things that we do so quickly sometimes. You know, hey, I'm big enough to do it. You know, I wear my big boy pants every day. I can do it. Yeah, and then we forget. We forget about things that we've done. Then when it comes to mind, we regret it. You know, that's I don't like people living with regrets. You know, that's why I tell them about Jesus, because you don't have to live in regret. He knew you sinned, and he's going to make a way for you to get out of it. So why live with regrets? Why live with guiltiness? Why live with condemnation? You don't have to live that way. You can be free. Scripture says this, he that is dead is freed from sin. You got to know what dead it's talking about. Dead to sin, huh? Because you're in Christ, you associate with the death of Christ, and that frees you. So he that is dead is freed from sin. I love that. I love that I'm dead and freed from sin. Because now I've been resurrected and I live a life in Christ, Kiko. What did you see when when your heart was messing up and you had that vision and they thought they were massaging your heart, they had to open up your chest, and you were on a bed and you passed us so fast going down that hallway, I didn't even know. I said, who? My wife said, that's Kiko. And they're massaging her heart. They opened her right up in the room because something went wrong. And they just zapped her right past us going back to OR, right? But what did you see? Uh-huh. And what else did you see?
I saw me in heaven.
Yeah. And God told you had to do what? Had to come back. She didn't want to come back because it looked so good. But he said, you have to go back because you had some more to learn, right? And you're living here today, right? That's good. Tim, I think about Tim. That affected him just as much. He wasn't the one having the heart massage, but he was seeing all that stuff. And it's kind of it's amazing what God does. It's amazing. So, anyway, good things happen to good people, I think. God knows you're going to be good, right? Said, well, I wasn't good. Yeah, you may not have been, but God knows the change. Remember I talked about that change? He knows the change that what's happening in you because he's the one that's promoting it. He's the one that's doing it. So we talk about this faith and this purging. I want you to understand that by faith we can make heaven. We can make heaven. I'm talking about right now. Didn't it say we can sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Well, how do you think that works? Let me show you something here. I think it's Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, somewhere around there. Let me read that real quick. I'll start at 5 because you got to start above. I'll start at 4. So Ephesians 2:4, but God who is rich in mercy. Oh my God, am I glad he's rich in mercy or I couldn't be standing here. For his great love wherewith he loved us. So he loved us first, huh, Patty? We loved him because he first loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, that's what I talked about a little while ago. I was dead in sin. Hath quickened us together with Christ. So quickened here means the old Greek word for make alive. So he made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. By grace you're saved through what? By grace you're saved and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Man, this grace, that's the second time it's mentioned it already, Kiko. It's saying the things I can do that you can't do, but here's the thing. I love you so much. I'm going to perform that grace for you. That's cool. Riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. You ever wonder why it's like that? Grace has to come first because it's the work that God does. He took us from being dead and made us alive so that we could worship him. So he did that first, huh? He did the impossible first. Grace. But he says, but through that faith, huh? Does he all give us a measure of faith? God gives every person a measure of faith. Now, can we grow in that faith? Oh, yes, we can. But everybody has a measure of faith. That's why you're here. By that measure of faith, you believe something. And then the Spirit of God, through his word, entered into you, and you became a believer of some sort. You became a believer. That's how it happened with me. I wasn't raised in church or knowing God or anything like that. My deal happened when I was standing in my barracks in the Marine Corps, my last year in the Marine Corps. And God did something for me that I thought would have been impossible. But by the end of that, April 1st, 1970, I'll always remember it. And by the end of that month, I wasn't doing any of those things. And only God could have stopped me from doing that. Nobody could have done that. No man was big enough to do it. But God did. And he stopped all those things and proved himself to me. So from that day to this, I've never stopped believing in God. Have I wandered off from time to time and done things that, you know, I've distracted by things and whatever? Sure. Some people stand up. I know a lot of pastors stand in front of their congregation and say, I was a paragon of virtue. I did everything right. You know, I can tell you how I was raised that way. From the time I was little, I was right. Well, I wasn't. So he took the one that wasn't right and made him a pastor. Good. That's great. That shows the power of God. But I can't stand before you and say, because of something I did? Is that why God did it? Because something I did? I think God heard my cry. And I think anytime God hears a cry of faith, even if it's that little faith, he starts to listen and answer you, you know? Here's the thing. Don't ever be fooled by thinking that God doesn't answer your prayer. Even if it's a foolish prayer, God will answer it. He just won't answer it the way you think. Especially those foolish ones, you know? So he won't answer a foolish prayer. But one that'll help you to know him and to grow in him, he'll answer it. And it's not going to ever appear the way you think because you have an expectation. This is how I want it, Lord. This is the picture I have in my mind. God's going to do it his way and the way that it will affect you so that you don't change from it. You believe that God has answered your prayer, okay? Now, some of the prayers that God answered me, I didn't realize until way later, Kiko. And I said, wait, he didn't answer the way I wanted him to answer. But then there was an answer to what I had asked. And it finally hit me later. And I said, so God, you're trying to teach me something here. Yes, I'm trying to teach you that your expectation is not mine. I have to show you what's best for you. What do we pray all the time? Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Do we mean it or don't we? Because sometimes his will is, no, I'm not going to let you have that, or I'm not going to do that for you. I'm going to take you another way where your faith will be built. Well, you will know that this is better for you than the way you thought. We think we're Ace Boon Coon, number one top guy, what we think is going to work our way, and it's the best way to do it. God said, nah, that would have been a bad way. Let me do it my way, and it's going to come out better. And it does, always. God is faithful always. He never gives up on us. We may give up on him, but he never gives up on us. So what is God doing for us right now? Is he purging our conscience by faith? That is something we cannot do. The grace of God has to purge that conscience. It says he purged our consciousness, this thing that we need to have changed, he purged it a long time ago. It was one of the other things that he did on the cross. He forgave sins, but he also purged our conscience. Arion, he took the part of us that we think, our heart, our mind, and how we make decisions and what our morals are and everything. He took that and changed it. He didn't make it like man said. Man said, this is what makes you a right man, this, 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 and this. And you're still messing up. You know, it doesn't get you anywhere. But God said, if you do it my way, he told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Wait. How can I be perfect? I'm a man. But then he said, but by my grace, I'm going to do this. So can you walk before me and be thou perfect? Abraham started off. Yes, Lord. You told me to leave. I'm leaving. I don't know where I'm going yet. You said you'd show me where I'm going to go. And he did. But he left not knowing where he was going. But he believed God. Then did God show him? Show him the land of Canaan. He looked at it and he said, all of this will belong to you and all of your generations. All of it. Do you know that Abraham is called the first Hebrew? He's the first one called a Hebrew in the scriptures because he's the father of faith. He's the one that started the faith off. He believed God as a man, and God believed him, in him, that he knew that he would be faithful to him. That's a cool thing. When God can trust us to be faithful in the things that he said, or we always want God to be faithful in everything. Yes, he will be. But what if he can depend on us to be faithful? That's a good thing, huh? So faith is what brings us to God. I think it's Hebrews 11:6. Let's go to that. I think that's where it's at. I'll know in a second. Listen to this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. There's another one of those impossible things again, Patty. Without faith, without believing in obedience and moving on what God says, and understand that he's given you the word and his spirit, and that he's given you the power to be able. God never asks us to do anything that we don't have any power to do. Either he's going to give us the power, or we have the power to do it anyway, you know, from what we believe. But God never asks us to do something like that. He said, the impossible stuff, you leave that to me. I'll take care of that. He'll do that. But it's very cool. But it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I just believe, that's all. But God's accounted it to me as faith. You know, all the things that we've been through, and it shows me that God's a deliverer. Did everything go hunky-dory? No. Were there some bad things or hard things that we had to go through? Yes. But through it all, God always gave us the faith to make it through. Every single time. Even though sometimes there was a suffering involved in it. So doesn't he say that if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me? That's true. Did Christ suffer while he was here? Oh, much. So he knew what he was talking about, huh? But if you can overcome that by having faith in God, letting God, remember, faith comes from heaven. The purging comes from heaven. Grace comes from heaven. All of those things that we can't do ourselves, that all comes from heaven down to us. Why would God do all of that? Love comes from heaven. The true love I'm talking about of God. All of those things come from heaven. Why is it that he has ascended from heaven? Because as men, what do? We follow our flesh. We follow the carnal mind. So he says, I can't start it there. I'll give it to you from heaven and change where you're at so that you don't remain carnal. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Man, what a statement. That's in the 8th chapter of Romans. They that are in the flesh can't please God. If you have the mindset of flesh, you can't please God. If you're in carnality, you can't please God. And that flesh and blood carnality cannot enter into heaven. God won't allow it. So what do you have to do? Do you have to be changed? Does your mind have to be transformed? Do you have to have a faith and a belief? Yes, you have to. You have to. Does God help you with that? Oh, of course he does. Does he realize for some of us it's nearly impossible unless he comes in to help? Yes, he understands that too. Every one of us, we're a living witness of that. So he came in and helped me, took me out of a place. There was a man that I met years later. He said, there you are. I pulled you up out of the pit. That's where I was at. I was in the pit of hell. I was there. People ask me, have you been to hell? Yes, I have been. I can describe some of the things that I saw and how I kept trying to get out, Kiko, and I couldn't get out, and how awful it was, and never realized why those dreams were like that or why my mind moved the way it did. But there was a hand that appeared one day, and I had been trying to get out and slipping back down. It's like very muddy and slimy. And every time I thought I could get my way up, one time I put my knee up on a little mini ledge, and I thought I was going to make it, and then the ledge gave way, and I slid back into the slime, Patty, all the way back in. And there were things moving in that slime, all kinds of stuff. I could feel it moving past me. Didn't know what it was, but it terrified me because I didn't know what it was. What was that? What was that that I felt move against me? I got to get out of here, you know, darkness. all kinds of stuff crawling around, whatever, and there was a hand. I reached down and I saw it, and at first I didn't quite believe it, but it was there, and I grabbed hold of it. Mud, slime, everything, but it held on to me. And all of a sudden, I felt myself being sucked out, pulled up from all that muck. You know how you're in mud, and it's like, you know, and there's a suction there. And it pulled me out. And the next thing I know, I'm standing up on there, and I'm looking back at the pit. And I'm so thankful that I've been pulled out. I was tormented there. And I was so thankful. Now, the image that I saw here in this earth was Rick. But even then, I realized afterwards, he said, Kenny, it wasn't me. It was the angel of the Lord that was doing that. You had to see something to believe. And that's what happened. So he gives you an image to believe in. You know what I mean? And I always thanked him for doing that. He said, don't thank me, thank God. Because God is the one that did it. And that's true. We don't realize where we're at until God shows us where we're at. Now, here's the other thing. We don't realize who we are until God shows us who we are. Every one of you in here is a son or a daughter of God, or else you would not be here. God has given every one of us a measure of faith. So what are you supposed to do with that? Believe to gain more. What else does God do? He delivers the word and the gospel to you. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That was Christ. And so through that, we go through the same journey, Chris, and God pulls us up and helps us to be different. We change because our minds are transformed by the gospel that's preached to us. The gospel has spirit too. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Every time I speak it, because it's not me. I'm hooked to the conduit. The conduit's in heaven. It's the Spirit of God. So he comes down and words this mouth so that I can speak. We're not smart enough to do this on our own, but God is the one that can do this. And so then he speaks the gospel through you to others, uses you as a conduit, and then causes you to believe in him. Whew. Can't do this by myself. Can't do it. Never have been able to do it by myself. Always, it's always been God that's done it. And so you have to give credit to God, not self. You got so many people walking around so full of pride and arrogancy and whatever. Look at what I can do. Look at what I did. Look at what this and that. Look how I can preach. Look how I can tell you knowledge and keep you in suspense about how much stuff I know. You know, I say, a bunch of dung. That's what the scripture calls it. So that dung is that animal crap. It's not worth anything, Kiko. Some people gather it up and start fires with it over in those countries, like in Ethiopia and whatever. Go gather dung. You know, there's people, their job is to gather dung so they can sell it to people and start fires so they can cook. That's amazing to me. But it's rubbish. All that stuff I thought I knew, all rubbish. Nothing. Got an education in this world? Nothing. That doesn't get me to heaven. What gets me to heaven is faith toward God. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 6? It says, repentance from dead works, the stuff that we think we can do that gets us to God, is just dead stuff. It's stuff man has taught us, whatever. It's not God. So we have to repent from those dead works. Well, I thought this was the way to get to you. God said, no, let me show you the way to get to me. And then let's repent of that, all that other junk you did. So repentance from dead works. And then what's the next verse say? And faith towards God. So where does our faith have to go to? From the one that sent it down to us from heaven, back to God. Does that make sense? He has to see that you believe in him and that you trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. Isn't that true? You think your understanding is everything? It's not. It's nothing without God. Let God give you understanding. Let him give you wisdom. Let him give you understanding. I want somebody to read something for me. This is the last scripture. Job 28:28. Somebody read it on the mic there and read it loud. And that's what we'll end with. Job 28:28. You can look it up if you want to.
And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding.
Read one more time, Terry.
And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding.
So is he talking to man? That's how he starts it off, doesn't he? I'm talking to you, man. That fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, huh? And to depart from evil is understanding. Oh, we think understanding is when you read books and you learn and whatever. Nope. God is telling us it's different than what we think. So the fear of the Lord is what? That wisdom, right? And to depart from evil is understanding. So that's wisdom and understanding, not what we call wisdom and understanding. Hope you got something out of what we said today. God is working some mighty things in us, and our faith is going to grow. Faith is going to take us where we need to go. And heaven is your home. Simple as that. So let's act like we're going home. Faith is your home. We ask everybody to stand, if they would. So God wants us to have faith, and we have to believe to the point of obedience, to believe the things that God says and then act on them. We all have received a word from God, so let's act on that word, okay? Lord God of heaven, we believe you, we trust you, we thank you for your word, we thank you for everything that you've done. We thank you, Lord, because you are changing things for us, and it's going to be here in earth as it is in heaven. We look for the heavenly, Lord God. We look for the celestial. We look for the things that come from above, and we thank you for what you've done for us, how you loved us so much that you brought us together in this place, and we thank you for your word. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise because you deserve it. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen.